Perfect divine heavenly Father. You have gently cared and shown compassion towards us as a loving, perfect mother. May your divine spirit lead us privately in our soul's journey homeward bound. And may your spirit lead us in our collective faith journey as we seek to be your presence in our community. Receive from us this hour our offerings of worship in song, scripture, sharing, and sermon. May we leave this place knowing of your calling on our lives. And all God's people say, Amen. Worship team, please.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Tim, and I serve as the pastor here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. Make sure I get all the words in. We're glad to have you here. On this Mother's Day. Mother's Day is not a church calendar day, but it is a day we celebrate. And it's a day that sometimes has a mix of emotions. There is pain, there's joy, there's disappointment. There's all these things sometimes mixed together. So today, we welcome and celebrate all of the women who have invested into our lives and care for us. Now, the history of Mother's Day goes way back to the early 1900s, and it was actually Mother's Day for Peace. It was a pushback against the violence in the world. It was mothers standing up saying, "Let us no longer send our sons and our husbands to die in these wars. Let's work, do that hard work for peace." How disappointing it was for the founder of the very first Mother's Day to see it so quickly be twisted into commercialization and co-opted into something else. But that is what we celebrate today too. The work women continue to do throughout the world to bring peace, to be peacemakers, and to push back against the violence of that old boys. We're going to have our time of prayer. But before we do that, we would like to give you an opportunity to share. If you have something you'd like to be prayed for, or something that's an announcement that you'd like to be shared, please raise your hand. We'll have a microphone come to you, with the caveat that we do record this service, and it does appear online. So whatever you share, whoever finds our website and would like to listen through, will also be able to hear that. Oh, and just as I get your microphone on, could you please say your name before you share so that all of us can hear you?
Hi, everyone. I'm Harriet, and I'm so happy to share some of the news with all that invite your prayer. So, full Spano, Jeff's mom, Elaine Friesen, from the White Night Church. She's been struggling with really held with many, many health concerns lately, and in the answers prayer, a spot opened up at Vineland and at my home. So although that is wonderful and really an amazing thing that she was able to move in there last Thursday. It's going to be a big transition for her and just that age. So we ask you to pray for them and for this time of adjustment. But again, just really, really grateful.
Alright, thank you for sharing. With a young man in the front row. And a fantastic mustache, as always. I feel like you change your facial hair very quickly.
It probably takes my brother.
Oh.
Alright, Ed ends. Just something kind of joyful and inspiration that Pastor Tim just reminded me of. Grade 6 it was, and boys being boys in those days, there were fights occasionally. There was disagreements, and sometimes it was resolved physically. Well, there were these two boys in our class that were, and I wasn't one of those boys at that time. They were considered strong boys in the class.
And if they're here, you can point them out too.
Yeah, but not here, but I see. And so they had gotten into a disagreement. And it was, I believe it was after school or lunch. Those days we walked home during our lunches. And the group of us are following because there's going to be a fight. And we want to see it. Kind of like, you know, the Roman days, the people are anxious to see this happen. Well, these two boys, they're not relenting and they're going to be fighting. They come to the front yard of one of the boys' properties. This is the time. Now we're going to fight. There might have been about 20 of us other kids, girls and boys together. We're ready to watch. Mother comes out the door. She says, "What's going on here?" And the boy says, "This is it. Me and, I'll say, Joe, we're going to have this fight. We don't agree." She says, "Stop right there." She goes in the house. She comes out with a basket full of apples. She says, "Anybody want apples?" We're looking at her. "Sure, we'll have apples." "Well, the boys that we're going to fight?" "Yeah, I'll have an apple too." We ate apples. Those boys became best friends. There was no fight. So a mother's wisdom, a mother's love. It was like, what an inspiration. But perfect. It didn't have to travel the world to figure out how to resolve this. That mother had a great idea. So, neat example. Thanks, Dad.
To find specific Mother's Day songs, but someone in this congregation gave me this book a while ago, and there is a song in here that reflects on mothers, and it reflects from Proverbs 31 as well, and I think we're going to take 2 minutes or so to read it to you. "Her strength and her dignity clothe her with beauty, and works of her hands she excels. A heart of compassion she turns to the needy, and serves to others she gives of herself. She will be called blessed by her sons and her daughters, precious to the father of those who seek his ways. She will be called blessed, held above every other. Blessed is the woman who turns to God and prays. She rises each morning to see her household. She looks toward the future with joy. She teaches her children true lessons of kindness and shares with them wisdom the world can't destroy. She will be called blessed by her sons and her daughters, precious to the father are those who seek his ways. She will be called blessed, held above every other. Blessed is the woman who turns to God and prays."
Thank you, Drew.
You all know I'm Vancouver, but this morning I just wanted to give, I think the word is homage, but I'm not sure if that's the right word, to Vicki Hildebrand, who died this past week. She was a very important person in the church. She gave a lot of herself to helping Henry do the deacon's work. But most of us remember her from Girls Club, how much she enjoyed working with all the children, the girls in Girls Club. And there are many of you here who think that you were the only one for her, just like my Nancy did. But she was there for many girls and put her life out to all of us. And just wanted to remember her and her family today.
Thank you, Anne. And we'll be celebrating Vicki's life on Wednesday at noon, and that will be at Tolman's in Violet. For the last prayer together, and at the end of the meeting, leading us in prayer, also lead us in the Lord's Prayer. We will have that on the screen. You are welcome to do whatever words and version and language comes from your head on that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are a father, you are a maker who is near, who describes yourself as the mother hen longing to pull all of us chicks under your wings. Lord, we pray that you would guide us in your mothering and caring and loving ways, that we would be able to love others as you love us, that as we follow your Son, Jesus, we would start to experience other people more and more as those made in your image, as those to be loved, as those to be loved in your name. Lord, we pray for each of the people here, that each one of them would know that they are your precious sons and daughters, that you love them dearly, and that they would be able to experience that in such a way that it spills over into the rest of their lives. Lord, we think of all of the people who are hurting in our world, all of the people battling addiction, battling loneliness, disease, sickness, the violence and warfare in our world, poverty. Lord, there is so much trouble out there today. Have mercy. Lord, work through your people. Work through your church throughout the world so that we can be your hands and feet. May we be the answers to prayer and our loving actions for our neighbors, both here and everywhere. As we bring our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that everything we have is yours. Use what we have to advance your kingdom in word and deed. And Lord, we pray for all of those who had those silent prayer requests, not spoken on microphone, but spoken in their hearts. Lord, have mercy. May they know that they are heard and known by you. And we pray alongside the Friesen family as Elaine goes to this new place. We pray that you would bless her in that new journey and be with the family as they adapt. Lord, we pray for Vicki Hildebrandt's family and loved ones as they mourn her passing. Remind us again that she is your precious daughter and that she is in the fullness of your love. Comfort us as we grieve and remind us again of the great hope we have in your resurrection power. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray as on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Children, it's time to come home for your children's story time.
That's on. Okay, here we go. Brian, good morning, everyone. It is good to see you after our donuts with grown-ups time. That was delicious, hey? We had such a good time with moms and grandmas and omas and aunties, and we had some dads and some opas there, too, which is great. We really enjoyed that time together because it's Mother's Day, right? Did you spoil your mom today? What did you do for your mom? Okay, I would like to trade spots with Mrs. Gobble. I would like to do that. She got the water bottle and crafts, and she got to sleep in, and she's going to a special place for dinner. And an extra long nap! Awesome! That's great. Freezer boys, take note. All right. Fantastic. Anybody else? Anything exciting? Marcus, did you want to share? What she said, right? You colored something for your mom? That is the best. That, right? Getting something from your heart that you made with your own hands, I love that. So I think, because I know your moms, I know you love your moms, right? They're great people. And your grandmas and your omas and your aunties. Can you tell me something that you really love when your mom does this? Something that your mom does that you just love. Makes you so happy. Like, for example, I'm going to tell you that when my mom makes peppermint cookies and sends them home with me, I love that. I love her, but I love getting cookies. What do you love, Stephanie, again? Oh, when your mom takes you to the park and when she hugs you. Awesome. Does anybody else have anything? Something that your mom does that you love? They're just we're busy. It's busy. What do you have, Marcus? So when she plays on the playground with you and races with you and races with your sister, Callan, what about you? Ooh, nice segue, Callan. She says she likes to get away with stuff. I like it. Every once in a while, gotta be flexible. That's part of being a mom. But you know, that leads me to the next question, which is, are there times when, and you don't have to, you don't have to give this, but where your mom has told you no?
Yeah.
Or she said we could not go to the zoo today. Just no. Oh, yeah, that's hard to be thankful for, right? It's hard to be thankful for no to ice cream and no to the zoo. And sometimes it's no, sometimes it's not yet, but it's not, oh, we don't enjoy that, do we? We don't like getting the no and the not yet. Why do you think moms sometimes say no or not yet? Are they just trying to be mean? No, they're not, right? Do you think that it comes because moms care about us? And they love us. And sometimes they say no to watching a movie because they think it might be too scary for you. Or no.
The only movies I've watched
are well, you know what? Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Well, that's it. Your mom loves you, and she knows that Winnie the Pooh movies are good, and probably knows that some other movies would be scary and might keep you up at night, right? Well, yeah, but it's hard. When you get a no, it's hard not to have a little temper tantrum, right? Yeah. Stephanie, is there a time when you've been told no or not yet? You know what? Thank you. Yes, your mom is just basically trying to keep you safe, right? Your mom loves you. And when she says no or not yet, it's because she knows that there's something that she wants to prevent from happening, or maybe there's a different way she sees it happen because she's a grown-up and she loves you so much. She's trying to help to raise you right. And you know, that love reminds me of today's Bible story. And today's Bible story comes from the book of Acts. And it comes at a time in the Bible after Jesus has died, rose from the grave, and now he's alive and he is walking among the disciples and he's talking to them and he's sharing things with them. And we know God loves us so, so, so much, right? Even when we're not awesome. God loves us. He loves everything about us. And at this point in time in the Bible, God says he's going to call Jesus back to heaven with him. And Jesus is going to go. And you know what the disciples said? No. words, no and not yet. And it wasn't because he was being mean or he didn't love the disciples, but because he has a bigger plan, a better plan. Everyone's good. And a plan that he has for all of us too. Sometimes we get a no from God, or sometimes we get a not yet, and we have to wait. But you know, while we're in the waiting time, we don't want to have temper tantrums or hazy fits, those things we talked about. We want to do good things. That's what God asks us to do, is go and do good things while we're waiting for all the promises to unfold. So be kind to each other and love each other. Love your moms today, but love everybody. And in that time, it will help us to grow up and have a wonderful life. That's what God wants for us. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for loving us. And thank you for telling us no and for telling us not yet. We know you do that because you love us. Thank you for taking care of us and shaping our lives. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. I will be reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 1-14. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who had been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon of Zelot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers.
Famous words that we've either heard or we've spoken, either spoken or received, often in distress. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? This understanding that we are going somewhere. There is a there we would like to be, but we are not yet there. And the first time it's asked, if you are driving anywhere with children, or if you are the children driving with adults, you know that it is not the last time that question will be asked. And it just seems to escalate in frustration, and then maybe by the end, this is how you remember your road trips as stressful, difficult things. Are they there yet? What is taking so long? I remember when I used to ask that, my father would always reply, yes. This was not helpful. He thought it was funny. I kept asking. He kept responding. It did not make the drive go faster. Are we there yet? Is difficulty in waiting? The challenge we have when we're expecting something and it's not there yet, or maybe even we're expecting something that should have already arrived. We are at the right place, we did all the right things, and now, why are we waiting? What's taking so long? Even as we think about things happening into the future, for those of us who are old enough to have used computers where it has that little dial thing in the middle that starts going around, and you think any moment now, and it just keeps going. Why is everything taking so long? We want to get there to the point. If we get to the point where we get tired of waiting, waiting is hard. This is a question the disciples are having today. Are we there yet? What about this thing that we've been waiting for, we're so excited about? And you can almost hear in the passage Jesus' deep sigh. It answers the question in an entirely different way. So a little background on where we are starting in the book of Acts. So this is after the whole Easter story. Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection has all occurred in Luke. We've seen Jesus overcome all of the powers of darkness and death and empire in our world. Risen as Lord. Revealing himself to the disciples, letting them know that the world as they knew it has been changed by resurrection power. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, this is the same writer for the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts. He will say that volume one is all that Jesus began to do and teach. But Acts isn't an end or a new beginning, it is a continuation. It is all that Jesus continued to do and teach. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we see Jesus' mission that he gives his people spread. It's almost as if you read right to the end of Luke chapter 24, that there should be a little line saying, to be continued. And what's confusing for us is we have the four Gospels together arranged in such a way that at one point we thought that was the order that they were written. So we have Luke, and then we have the book of John, and then we have Acts, when really Luke and Acts are almost one and the same. They're meant to be read together. They have a lot in common, common writer, common themes. They are referencing each other as they go. So let's listen through again to Acts chapter 1 with that knowledge, and look at some of these things so we can kind of hear it freshly, see it with fresh eyes. So you can see Luke, the author here, writing in my former book, Theophilus. At Theophilus, we think, is just the person who is helping fund this book writing, getting scrolls, getting things written, talking to all these people. This was an expensive venture. His name was either Theophilus, or he's just being referred to as a pseudonym here. Theophilus just means lover of God. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven and giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised. If you read any other translation, gift is actually added. It's wait for the promise my Father has given us, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? This is the directive sign of Jesus. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. If you're watching the references here, this is where Jesus was arrested. The same place he is arrested, the same place that Peter pulls out a sword and cuts off the ear of a servant, is where Jesus ascends to heaven. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. All right, so let's dig a little deeper, because there's a lot of rich stuff going on here. First, you see Jesus is continuing to preach about the kingdom of God. That is how Luke will say it. In Matthew, we see it as the kingdom of heaven. This idea that the realities of heaven's values have come to earth. Earth, the place that has been twisted by sin, now being untwisted back to the good creation in all aspects through the kingdom. This kingdom has arrived. And then we have this question from the disciples. When are you going to restore this kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Jerusalem? When are you going to restore us to the place of power? This understanding still of Jesus' kingdom being this earthly reality that takes effect through violence and power to rule over others. So if ever you think that you're having trouble understanding something, know that the disciples were not only with Jesus for 2 years, were not only disappointed trying to figure out what to do after he died, but saw him resurrected, were taught for 40 days, and then still didn't get it. So Jesus says, wait. I'm not going to get into that. Wait. Things are going to change when the Holy Spirit comes. Until the Holy Spirit comes, until that is in you, you're going to still be confused about this. You need more than what can just be taught through words and through my presence. You need me inside your heart, inside of you. You need the Holy Spirit changing you from the inside out. And he talks about the Holy Spirit's power. The word power here is dynamis. This is where we get the word dynamite. Sometimes we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about the fire, and we think about this very spiritual thing that's distant from us. But when it's talked about in the Bible, the Holy Spirit's power is explosive. There's almost a violence to it, a surprising amount that moves people in a new way. It is dynamic. And the Holy Spirit's power is important because that is what's going to be able to dynamite the disciples and change their minds. Because they're stuck thinking about a different type of kingdom. Jesus has talked about the kingdom of God, but they're still thinking about the kingdoms of the world. And while they might be rejecting the kingdom of Caesar, the kingdom of Rome, the empire power that murders Jesus, they're still thinking about a different kind of earthly empire than what Jesus has preached, embodied, and sent them to announce. His kingdom come will be done on earth. And Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. You will be the ones because you saw, you experienced, and now you will be able to take those experiences and tell others in your words, in your actions, in your lives, what this means. And what we miss, maybe, is that the word witness is the exact word martyr. You will be my martyrs. Witness and martyr will later mean those who witnessed for Jesus in such a way, who embodied the love of Jesus in such a way, who denied themselves, took up their cross, and followed Jesus to the point that they're killed for their faith. When Luke writes this, there will have already been many martyrs, many witnesses. That is called, you will be my martyrs. Giving up what's best for you for what's best for the kingdom. And then he gives these instructions, which maybe if we're not really, really good at historical geography, we miss. So he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, the main city where you are. So for us, it's St. Catharines. And then all Judea, that is the region surrounding it. It wouldn't be as big as Ontario. But what is? Ontario is just gigantic. But that's what it is. It's kind of a provincial area. All Judea. And then Jesus says, and Samaria. And for those of us who don't know, we just think, yes, and Samaria. These are all just places. But the disciples here would have been like, wait, Jerusalem, yes. Judea, sure. Samaria. We don't like those guys. We hate those guys. Those are our enemies. And I was trying to think, what would be the logical place for us? So I thought, maybe Buffalo, New York. Sorry to my family from there. We're going to go see Grandma Marcia in Buffalo soon. Maybe that's kind of the place that's nearby that we don't like. Or maybe for those of us who grew up as Maple Leaf witnesses, maybe that's what that's going to use, witness, these martyrs to the Maple Leafs. Maybe it's like the Montreal Canadiens. Whatever it is, Samaria is our enemies. The people you hate the most. That's what Jesus is sending them to. And then he says, and to the ends of the earth, to those places in the world beyond your maps, you don't even know exist yet. All over, you will be my witnesses there as well. And then Jesus ascends. So this is actually an historic event on the church calendar. Thursday was Ascension Day. Today would be Ascension Sunday. That's where we remember that Jesus ascends to heaven. See, Jesus resurrected shows that he has overcome all the powers of death, all the powers of violence and empire and sin in the world. The ascension to heaven shows that he is also king over all of the earth, that he is Lord and no other. And as he ascends, it shows that his mission will continue now with him overseeing it from the throne. This kingdom mission. Go to all of those places. We're going to start nearby. We're going to go further out, even to your enemies, to these ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. Living out in word and deed, and even to death, what it means to be a part of my kingdom. What it means to love your neighbor as yourself. To love God. To experience the love of Jesus in our communities so our neighbors can experience it through our hands and feet. You see, the trouble we have in this passage is that, like the disciples, we get tired of waiting. We expect to be able to get to certain destinations, to certain experiences faster than maybe the pace life takes us. That may be the pace that God has determined. And it's hard to imagine what it means to be a witness. That's not something Mennonites like to do if it's not just through our actions, right? We're happy sometimes to be witnesses in the way we live a good life, but we don't like to talk about it too. Witness means we will go and share verbally what we have experienced to be true with others so we can invite them into that new hope.
other. It means living it out in such a way that we deny ourselves, that we take up our cross that shows that we do not mind pushing back against the empires of the world who will label us as rebels, and follow Jesus. That's a big ask. We like the idea maybe sometimes that evangelicalism, to witness means just to tell people suddenly about Jesus, and we lose the fact that witness literally means martyrdom, death to ourselves, death to reality as well. A real end of our life. Will we be able to handle that? And there's this confusing bit, because as the disciples were saying, when are you going to raise us up into power? If you remember from earlier in the Gospels, the disciples will often fight about which one of us is going to be the most important one in Jesus' kingdom. When are we going to be the ones in control? And Jesus says, hold up. You're going to be my witnesses, my martyrs. It's going to be different. Wait for the Holy Spirit, and then you'll go. Even to your enemies. We like the idea of loving our enemies more than actually doing it. That's hard. And we like the idea of a kingdom or even a church that keeps us separate from other people. We like the idea of a kingdom or a church where people have to come to us and follow all of those things so that they can get in, as opposed to this kingdom mission that Jesus says means going out. This is not a church. You are the church. We are the church as we go. There is the kingdom of God. Not just waiting for people to come to us. And there's this difficulty with respect to the disciples too, of waiting for what's next. Whenever you see a movie or there's a TV show, there's all of these action things that happen in the story, right? All of these exciting events, and then when it's kind of boring in the middle, what do? Suddenly a little word appears on the screen 10 years later, and then it jumps to the next action sequence. Even in Exodus, when you're looking at the life of Moses there, all of these actions, all these things go away, suddenly he goes and he's going to go outside of Egypt, and then 40 years later, burning bush. It skips over all of the in-between, all of the waiting, because waiting is hard. But waiting is often the reality. This passage, the ascension of Jesus, this kingdom mission, is a mission of hope. Because it reminds us that Jesus is King, not Caesar. Jesus is Lord. That Jesus' kingdom has come. That it is a reality here on earth already as it is in heaven. But also that Jesus' kingdom is coming. There's this confusing element that Jesus announces and says the kingdom is here, but also it's not here yet. Sometimes people use the language of a foretaste, right? Like you're going to get married and you're looking at what different foods and stuff you want, and you go and you get a little taste of it. That's different than the wedding feast. But it already exists and is in plans and movement. Jesus' kingdom is still coming in its fullness. This time of waiting that we are called to, that we see in this passage, is formational. What do they do while they wait? They gather together. All the disciples who followed Jesus, all the disciples who were women who followed Jesus, even Jesus' mother and brothers, they are gathering together and they are praying. And this time of waiting is formational. Because waiting in prayer is also waiting in participation. That as we pray, as we are part of waiting, as we live out our daily boring lives, like holding us that 10 or 40 years later sequence in the movie of your life, that is where we get to love our neighbors. That is where those little kingdom elements get lived out in real sometimes mundane ways. So what does this mean for us? Well, it means that you are a witness. You are called Jesus' witness to witness to what you have experienced, to what you know to be true in your words, in your actions, together, and in the wholeness of your life. The word witness in Rome, when this is being written, would have been similar to how we would see the word herald, maybe today. But that's also not used very much. See, what would happen is, frequently, there would be these disrupting wars of who's in charge of the empire. There would be, when one Caesar died, we'd have three or four or five, we'd have a whole bunch of people standing up with their armies, fighting against each other, trying to be the next lord, trying to be the next Christ, the next savior of the empire. These are all empire language words. To be the next Caesar. And what would happen at the end of those wars, because the Roman Empire was gigantic, and they had roadways that stretched out all over. At the end of those wars, even as the rest of the empire doesn't know it yet, if in Rome itself they crown a new Caesar, then Caesar sends out witnesses. And what these witnesses do is they go and they tell the good news to the rest of the empire. They go to the ends of the empire, the ends of the world, to announce this good news that there is a new Caesar, there is a new Lord who is king. You may not know it yet, you may not have experienced his new decrees and his new kingdom come, but it is coming and it's already a reality whether you know it or not. This is good news to you because when the empire is being fought over and there's all this violence and such, that affects all of us. But let me tell you this good news, let me tell you this gospel of our Lord Caesar, and how he has brought peace to the world by conquering his enemies. This is all Roman Empire language. This is incredibly politically charged language. That is what we are called to do as witnesses for Jesus. That there is a new king. That he is actually, in reality, in power and control. And though you may not have experienced the fullness of his love yet, know that it is coming. And it is even in effect now in ways. Let me tell you this good news, this gospel hope we have in this Lord who has conquered death, who has conquered the violence of the empire with love, with enemy love. And we're called to be witnesses as martyrs. That's where we get Jesus' words of deny yourself and take up your cross. The people Jesus said that to, his disciples, his followers, very much knew what that meant. That's what we're called to. To take all my life. To take my life and to use it in such a way. I get to experience the fullness of the joy of Jesus as Lord, that the kingdom come now. Friends, we are Jesus' church. That's a community gathered with a mission. Sometimes churches spend a lot of time trying to come up with mission statements and vision statements and stuff as if we're some sort of big businesses. But we're not. We already have a mission statement. It's what Jesus said. Jesus has given us a mission. Jesus is the one who sends us as king. We have been sent to go and embody that kingdom mission. Loving as we go. Sharing as we go. Baptizing as we go. And we are sent as a community. Not just a community of people, but as we'll learn about next week, a community of people that are supercharged by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're sent starting here. Starting here, and the church that continues to go further around us all, even to our enemies, even to the ends of the earth, we are a part of Jesus' church. But that will start sometimes even in the mundane aspects of how we love our next door neighbors, our neighbors we encounter through the community, our neighbors through the world. And we're reminded again that the Holy Spirit's power is dynamite. It is explosive. that love is such a thing that disrupts all of the violence of our world, all of the worldly ways of power, and brings back that wholeness, that renewal, that resurrection power that we see rising up all around us. Are we there yet? The disciples will ask. Jesus will say, yes, no, wait. There will be power. There will be power. And then he ascends to the throne to oversee that mission of love he has given us. That each person we meet, we get to be a witness to how we love them through our actions and through our words. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. Jesus, thank you that you are king. That you are the type of king who serves and loves others. That you are the type of king that challenges the violence in our hearts and changes us to be peacemakers like you. Let each person here be a witness to your love. Use our hands, guide our feet, guide our loving words. May we see your kingdom come and your will be done through our lives and by our prayers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, on your way out today, we have flowers for all of the women here. Please feel free to take one. If you know someone who is homebound or you're about to pursue your